I appreciate the scripture that Brother Howard opened with. It kind of refers to a little, well, what is on my mind in 1 Peter chapter 1. I ask that you would pray for me as I stand before you for just a little while, and I pray that you can see the Lord lifted up, and I pray that I'll do it, and I pray that you do it. The Apostle Peter had written this epistle to strangers. But they were strangers of this world. They were God's people, and they were scattered abroad, and they were God's elect people. And they had many temptations and had a lot of heaviness about them. And he said, "We greatly rejoice because of being kept by the power of God." And he tells them that the trial of their faith is precious, though it be tried by fire. And he talks about the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, "You haven't seen Him, but you love Him. And yet you believe, and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." And that's not the end of that sentence. And I always, when I hear ministers talk about that, because that's a great verse to talk about. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And most of them stop, but the sentence doesn't stop. It says, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." He says that that your faith has an end, and you enjoy the blessings of that when you exercise it. And we've been talking about faith as the key in the kingdom, and that's what Peter's talking about. That you receive the end of your faith, or the logical end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You know, there's a salvation that Jesus Christ procured for us, and it's done and done. And the Apostle Peter, I believe, here is talking about the exercising of our faith and our receiving the end of that. And the logical end of our living by faith is the salvation of our souls, or our animate beings while we live in this world. And he says, not only our salvation, but you know, it's all tied up together. We wouldn't have any salvation in this life if it wasn't for the salvation procured by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so Peter says that that these prophets, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. He said those prophets back there, they searched diligently for what time the Spirit would show up and what time that the prophesied Messiah would come, and they searched diligently in the Scriptures, but they didn't see it. But Peter says that, he puts it this way, it's a little bit difficult to understand. He says, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." You see, they really didn't understand that. You know, sometimes prophet doesn't understand the words that he's talking, that he says. If you find the You know, I know that Isaiah didn't understand a lot of the things that he said. Ezekiel didn't understand the reason why God told him to speak the things that he did. I don't understand why God tells me to speak some things that he tells me to speak. Y'all might be maybe a little shocked to know this, but sometimes I listen to myself and I can't believe that I said the things that I said sometimes, and I don't even remember saying some of the things, even if I listened to it that same day. He says, so these ministers, these prophets, they search diligently the scriptures, and he says, and unto whom it was revealed unto them that not unto themselves. It was revealed to them that they, you know, like Daniel the prophet, he says, these things are going to come to pass, but you won't see them. But other people will. He says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. He says that they prophesied about Jesus Christ and they ministered those things that you're now hearing by ministers that are preaching the gospel by the Holy Ghost. That's what he's saying. And he says, wherefore, that means on this account, or because of this, he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end. That means, that doesn't mean wish. That means expect. That means expect to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, there's no greater expectation than things that we know have already had been established. Right? I have tried out my chair, and I know that if I sit in that chair, I have pretty good confidence that it's going to hold me up. I've got faith in that chair. I trust in that chair because I've tried that chair. I sat in that chair many times, and I know that it's going to hold me up. Okay? There was one time I was working at a preschool, and a teacher's name was Miss Katie, and Miss Katie, I was in the preschool chair. Man, I do this every day. I don't know if y'all know that. I sit in these little bitty chairs about that big. I know it's hard for y'all to believe it. I can get down there, but I was sitting in this little wood chair, and I sat in it for about 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, it just fell out from under me. And I busted it in probably 10 different pieces, and she still talks about that. But the thing about it is that chair, it could not withstand my load for very long. But I'm going to tell you that you can expect that the Lord can handle your load to the end. He says that, you know, that we ought to be sober and hope to the end. That means that God's work, His blood is sufficient for all time. And so that's what gives you the ability to hope to the end. Because you expect Christ to come back, because it's not... Peter's going to talk about some more things, and that's the basis of this hope, but... he said, you hope to the end that you're going to be with the Lord. He says, that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So he says that while you're doing this, because of the things that have been reported to you by all of those prophets and even the gospel ministers now, because of all those things, and as obedient children. You know, there are obedient children and there are disobedient children. Y'all know that from your regular lives. You know, I've got to myself, and sometimes when I tell them to do something, they can be obedient or they can be disobedient. It's up to them. But it turns out better for them every time, at least with me, when they are obedient. Now, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now, here we got a situation that these are children of God, and they have every reason to hope to the end. And Peter still tells them that you don't be fashioning yourselves according to your former life. How many of y'all have had a former life? I have. I've had a former life. And I haven't had quite the turnaround that some people have. You know, I haven't been immersed in the drug culture. I haven't had that kind of turnaround, but I'm no less depraved than any of them. Now, he says, don't fashion yourselves. That fashion yourselves means to shape up the way that you live. Don't shape up the way that you live, or don't conduct your life according to the way that you did in your former lusts. After you have this hope, after you've been born of the Spirit. But he says, but as he which hath called you is holy, and here's really my text, but as, get that, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Y'all remember last week, those of you that were here, we talked about the things that Isaiah saw and the things that John saw. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filling the temple, and he saw the cherubims and they cried, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is and was and are to come. And that holiness is not one attribute of God, but it is all of His attributes under the heading of holiness. Everything that God is holy. His righteousness, His judgment, His justice, His mercy, His wrath, all of that is holy because God is holy. And so he says, Peter, Peter just didn't tell us to do that. God told the children of Israel back right before they were going to go into Canaan's land. Y'all get that? Before they were going to go into Canaan's land, he said, you don't be like the people that I drove out of that place. You don't live like those people do over there that I drove out. All those nations that I drove out, you don't be like them. He says, be ye holy. And he says, for I am your God. And then later on in Leviticus there, he tells them all the things that they, and he goes through the things that the nations did, and he gives them laws and says, you don't commit adultery, you don't do all manner of really bad stuff that the nations were doing. He says, for I am your God. He says, be ye holy. So he says, I put a difference between you and everybody else. He said, there's a difference. He said, I put a difference in between you and everybody else, all the nations. He said, and I drove them out. Now you go in and you possess the land. You know, there were a couple. Did y'all know that there were a couple tribes, 2.5 tribes, that they didn't go in? It was their choice not to go into the land that God had procured for them and for their good. There were some people that chose not to go in. Now, Canaan's land is not heaven. You don't understand that. I know a lot of times I have heard in the past people attribute part of Canaan's land to heaven, but you know what? If Canaan's land is a figure of heaven, then people can choose to go in or choose not to, and that ain't so. That's just not so. It is a type of the kingdom of God in this earth, namely the church kingdom, that we choose to go in. And it's a blessing. And God said, I've driven out every inhabitant of that world, of the nations. And I chose my name to be laid there and set there. And he said, and I put it on you, and you live according to my statutes. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, if holiness to God, I mean, if that's an attribute, it's not an attribute, but if every attribute of God falls under His holiness, everything that He is, every attribute, His anger, His wrath, His justice, His mercy, His grace, His love, if all of that falls under His holiness, and Peter tells us, and God tells us to be holy, because He is holy. We're not going to be holy like God is holy in perfection. Y'all understand that. But if every manner of, if all of our attributes, if all of our life, if all of our conversation would fall under the heading of holiness, how much more blessed would we be in this life? Yeah, I don't think that God is suggesting that we fashion ourselves in compartments in our life. Now I'm going to hit Brother Paul here, because I have to hit me. Do y'all live in boxes? Y'all heard people usually at work, they'll say, well, today I'm wearing the therapist hat, or today I'm wearing the director's hat, today I'm wearing the listener hat, or whatever. It means that's what role I'm playing today. I'm wearing the teacher's hat, or I'm wearing, you know, that means if you're wearing the teacher's hat, that means you're a teacher today. If you're wearing a student's hat, that means you're a student today, even though you may be a teacher. Y'all get what I mean? How we compartmentalize our lives, and you say, well, today I'm going to be this, and today I'm going to be that. I'm amazed that the older I get, the more I listen to the words that are sung in songs on the radio. I read one not too long ago about a song that's being played on the radio about a man calling a girl holy, 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 and he says, you're my kind of church. That's blasphemous, folks. Now, there is, I used to really love country music back when it was country. It ain't country no more, but that's my opinion. Here's the thing. How many songs, if y'all really listen to the songs, how many country songs will tell you that, or sing about, somebody partying on Saturday night and going to church on Sunday morning? How many folks, how many songs y'all hear like that? Almost every one of them, I mean, that mentions church anyway. They'll talk about all the redneck stuff that they do, or country stuff that they do, or drinking that they do, or whatever they do on Saturday, and then, but it's church on Sunday morning. is church on Sunday morning. Folks, I'm telling you that that is compartmentalizing our lives. And that is saying, I'm going to fashion myself after the world Monday through Saturday, but when Sunday comes, I'm going to go to church. And that's a good attitude to have. We ought to go to church, but I tell you, we ought to live Monday through Saturday like we're praising God and we're not fashioning ourselves after the ways of the world. After the kingdoms of the world. We've been preaching about it for almost a year now. Not really. About 8-9 months now. About the kingdom of God versus the kingdoms of the world. Peter's telling us, don't fashion yourselves. Don't fashion your life after the kingdoms of the world. He says, because God said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. So he says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. What does that conversation mean? Does that just mean the words that are coming out of your mouth? It does mean that, but that is a small portion of what it means. It means how you live, where you live, where you work, where you play, where you recreate. It means when you go in and when you go out. When you lay down and when you rise up. When you work and when you sleep. When you go to church. When you're having a bad day. When you're having a good day. It's all the time that we praise God. It's all the time that we conduct our life as having God's child hat on. Say, I'm a child of God, and that hat ought to never come off of any one of us, especially, well, not especially, all of us. I start to say especially me, but it's not on just me, it's on everybody that we ought to put child of God, and it ought to be written on our hat. Did you know that the priest's garments, when they had, you know, God was very specific about what priests ought to wear. And did you know that on part of the garment that the priest had to wear, he had, and I can't remember whether it was on his little turban hat thing or whether it was on his breastplate. I think it was on the breastplate where it had the 12 jewels on there. And it said, holiness unto the Lord. And God said, when he puts all those things on, he set himself apart. And he's consecrated, sanctified, set apart to my service. Peter says it's not just for the minister, but it's for the people. To be holy unto the Lord. I think it's rather, well, it's not rather. It's a wrong statement to say or to hold the pastor to a higher standard than you hold yourself. That's just, it's really wrong for anybody to hold a higher standard up for any of God's children than themselves. Y'all understand? I mean, we all ought to be holy unto the Lord. No one any more holy than the other one. No one any less holy than the other one. The standard is set. And we ought to examine ourselves to see whether we're there or not. I fall so short. He says, and this scares me to death, a little, and if ye call on the Father. Have y'all ever called on the Father? Have y'all ever prayed to the Father in Jesus' name? Have y'all ever called on the Father? Peter says, if ye have done that. Let's look at that for a minute before we get to the rest of it. If you call on the Father, what does that mean? What does that mean? If you call on the Father, it means that you recognize that God is your Father. Or you wouldn't call on Him. I have never cried out to anybody else's Father. I never cried out to yours. I didn't cry out to yours. I didn't cry out to yours. I didn't cry out to yours. I cried out to my own Father when I was sick or when I was in need of some assistance. Or just in need of love. I didn't cry out to anybody else's Father but my own. Now, Peter says, if ye have called on the Father above, I think all of us are there. Would you agree? I think all of us have called on the Father. He says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. It further explained it. It was a comma in there, separated. He says, and if you call on the Father, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What does that mean? Does that mean that you ought to walk around? Have y'all ever seen dogs that have been whooped so bad? You know, they have these rescue shelters and all these people that rescue these dogs that are from bad situations. And when they get them there, they just are whoop dogs. You know? They every time you raise your hand to scratch your head or something like that, they cower like that. They're afraid of every little thing, skittish, and just walk around nervous all the time. That's not the kind of fear that I lived under in my house. I didn't walk around or sneak around like a whoop dog. Because my father, I mean, he whooped me when I needed, and he whooped me where I understood that that was not acceptable, and if I did it again, it would be that bad or worse. But I knew that, and I didn't walk around in fear, though. I walked around because I knew he did it because he loved me. And he provided for me, and he protected me. And I wasn't afraid of anybody when I was with my daddy. You understand? When he was holding my hand and we'd go out to a baseball game or something like that, and we were walking down to anywhere in Disney World, anywhere that we were, and in a strange place, I was never afraid when I was with my father. Y'all, can y'all agree with that? Can you say amen, that you've been there and you understand that your own father didn't make you afraid, even though he corrected you at times? Can y'all agree with that with me? He says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. And that's still not that's not the end of that sentence. He's not talking about fear like the skittish dog. He's talking about something else. Let's figure out what he's talking about. For as much as ye know. Now, that's a semicolon after that last one. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now I'm going to stop at that point, but that's still not the end of the sentence. He's going to go on and explain that some more. So, fear. What kind of fear is he talking about? He's not talking about, I'm afraid because my father's going to whoop me and I'm just going around skittish and nervous all the time. That's not the kind of fear. It's the kind of fear it is that says, I have done good to you, and what are you doing on my account? Are you following my direction? You know, even though I didn't go around skittish and scared when around my father, I knew that if he had asked me to do something and I didn't do it, that I'd get a whoop. Can y'all relate to that? And so the fear was not motivated by me being afraid of him whooping me, but it was a little bit of reverential fear that I understood that he was my protector and my provider, and that I didn't have to fear anybody else because he was my father. Friends, I want to tell you that we ought not to fear anybody else but God. We ought not to be afraid. We ought not to reverence anybody else but God. You remember I read that. I think I read it. And I might not have read it. It says in Isaiah last week, it says, holy and reverend is His name. It's not my name. It's not some other priest's name or some other high person who holds a high station in this life. Their name is not holy and it's not reverend. I'm not going to revere their name. God alone is to be revered. And that is what the fear, that's what kind of fear this is. It's reverential fear. And this fear has its basis because we know how much was paid for our liberty. We know how much was paid for our liberty. He tells us. He says, you weren't redeemed with silver and gold. You know, if silver and gold was going to be the thing that redeemed you, you might fear somebody who paid the silver and the gold. Or if you paid it yourself, you wouldn't be afraid of anything. Right? If silver and gold was the thing that secured your redemption, then that's what you would fear, or you'd fear the person that paid it for you, right? He says, you weren't redeemed with silver and gold. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now there's another thing with this redemption. A redemption is almost, well, it's really close. It's really close to like having a ransom paid. You know, if you had a child that was abducted by someone, taken away, there are many people in this world that have children stolen from them, taken away. And that person that stole them sends you a ransom note, or ransom letter, says, if you pay me this money, then I'll give you your son back. And the father or mother or parents or whoever, they get up the money and they pay the one that's holding the child for ransom, then the child is set free. If they were an honorable thief anyway. So if you were the child set free, how much would you owe your parents? You may owe them your life. In the same way, we sold ourselves for naught, didn't we? We were sold under sin, weren't we? We had no ability to get out of that state of bondage. But Christ, as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, shed His blood for our ransom. He ransomed us. Now, how much do we owe Him? How much debt are we into Him? How much are we in debt? We're in debt and we cannot pay. We were in debt and He paid the debt. But we're indebted to Him. And He says, you know that the stuff that ransomed you, it wasn't silver and gold. It was precious blood that ransomed you. His life was given for you. He says, who by Him, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. You see, it all goes back to you and I. That's in love. That's the reason why He did all that. Is for you. He was manifest in these last times for you. He was manifest in those last times for me. He's manifest right now for me. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope, here we go back to faith and hope, might be in God. Now that's the end of the sentence. Seeing ye have purified your souls. Did you know you could do that? Do you know you could purify your soul? That's what Peter said. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. You know, you're not going to obey the truth out of the Spirit, right? But you can purify your soul by obeying the Spirit. Through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That means that's the end of obeying the truth. By the Spirit, that you'll love the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. You know, I think God, that it says the Word of God is different than the Gospel. You see, Peter wrote both of these letters. He said, I know you know these things. He said, but I'm going to keep on telling you about them. Hey, Peter said, as long as I'm in the body, I'm going to tell you about it. To stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Even though you know these things and are established in the present truths. He said, I'm going to keep doing it as long as I'm living. And I pray to God that as long as I'm living, I'll be able to preach that word to somebody who will listen. To people who hopefully already know it, and maybe some that don't. I pray the Lord. So as we go forth this week, let us not be in skittish kind of fear of God, but let us fear and have a sober mind that God sent His Son to die on the cross for me and for you. And that He calls us to be holy as He is holy. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer. The doors of our church are open for reception of members to do that which God has called you to do. You may come during the song. That your wishes be known and the church will be glad to wait on you.